helps you out with looking up words, walks you through the pages of meanings, leads you around parts of the speech, sentences to express your feelings.
That's a beautiful song, Randy.
Today, Bill, National Dictionary Day. It was created in honor of Noah Webster's birthday, October 16th, 1758. We have way more words now than we did then. And on the line with us is Steve Kleinedler. Steve, you are
You can do this.
Lexicographer?
I am a lexicographer. That is correct.
And that is a person that works with words, right?
Yes, I'm a dictionary editor and have been for quite some time.
How's your vocabulary?
It's fairly good. I, like many people, though, you know, I certainly don't have the dictionary memorized. I, on occasion, have to look up words myself. So that's, you know, why there are reference works.
Steve, they always talk about words that have been added to the dictionary. Is there ever a time they just take words out of the dictionary? They go, enough of this. No one's using this. We'll get rid of this word.
Nowadays, not as much as they used to. In back when dictionaries were entirely print, to add material, if you didn't add pages, you'd have to take stuff out. But nowadays, since so much of it is done online, there's relatively little that gets taken out. Usually, we don't put a word in unless we think it's going to stay around. So the stuff that does come out tends to be really arcane scientific terminology, for example. But by and large, we don't delete that much.
Steve Kleinedler, in addition to being a lexicographer, is also the executive editor for Reference Group at Houghton Mifflin Harcourt, publishers of the American Heritage Dictionaries and the Webster's New World Dictionaries. Do people still have dictionaries now, or do we all go online?
We certainly still sell print dictionaries. People buy print dictionaries still, certainly not at the rate that they used to decades ago, but they are still out there. And, of course, our products are available online, too. The American Heritage Dictionary, you can look up words at ahdictionary.com. With Webster's New World Dictionary, there's an arrangement with the Associated Press Style Guide. And when you subscribe to their online style guide, you also get the Webster's New World Dictionary information there.
Steve, I'm guessing there had to have been a huge influx of words because of the internet. Has that created a lot more words than anything else over the last couple decades?
There are a lot of different ways that words enter English, and of course, science and technology is a very productive method. And with the internet, not only do you get brand new words, but you also get meanings of existing words that get new meanings, as simple as stream and browse,
mouse,
scroll. All of these, even cut and paste, so much of the terminology that's used with computer science and internet science specifically stems from already existing words that said new words come into being as well.
I am irritated when people say words wrong, and I would imagine that, Steve, that bothers you quite a bit. I hate when people say espresso, because it isn't. It's espresso.
Unless it's a former presso, then it's espresso.
Yes.
That's still allowable,
great.
Right?
Everyone definitely has their pet peeves. As a linguist and a lexicographer, my duty is merely to describe how people use the language. And when there are issues like this, we point them out in a usage note saying that, this is how the standard form is used. This is what a lot of people use. Some people don't like it. So, use caution.
All right, I have a word I'd like to make sure I'm pronouncing correctly, and a lot of people mispronounce it. It starts with a J, and it involves rings and earrings and necklaces. How do you say that word?
Are you talking about jewelry?
Yes. And how do people usually say it, which drives me nuts?
Well, you can pronounce it with three or two syllables. You can enunciate jewelry, or you can do it as two syllables and say jewelry. They sound very similar. What pronunciation are you referring to?
A lot of people say jewelry. It drives me nuts.
Oh, they add in an extra sound.
Yep, jewelry.
Sort of like athlete for athlete, that
yep.
kind of thing. Yes, that is a phonological process called epenthesis, where you add phonetic material that isn't necessarily there. You're right. A lot of people do say that.
But Steve, Wendy thinks those people should be imprisoned. That seems extreme, doesn't it?
It's prison, by the way.
But But Steve, a lot of times what happens is if enough people say something incorrectly enough, it becomes an accepted form, doesn't it?
That's true. I mean, you know, you look at the word now is scandally pronounced harass. A couple decades ago, it was almost only pronounced Harris. And over time, the harass pronunciation became more and more prominent. And by now, it's the more favored pronunciation. So in certain cases, pronunciations do shift over time.
Like, for instance, I always thought it was divisive. And I heard our former president, Barack Obama, say divisive, which is correct.
Divisive is another word that we have a usage note about. Let's see, in 2013, the American Heritage Dictionary, we have a usage panel that consists of a lot of writers and poets and English professors, people who use English as part of their job. There's about 150 of them, and we ballot them annually on various items. And in 2013, the word divisive is normally pronounced divisive, and it's the preferred pronunciation of 88% of the panel. It's changed over time. Divisive was acceptable to 16% of the panel in 2001, but by 2013, 65% of the panel found it acceptable. It is changing, but it is still the divisive pronunciation would still be considered a variant.
How does our language compare to other languages just in terms of volume? Do we have more words in the English language than most other or not?
No. Every language has, almost every language has the ability to add by using prefixes or suffixes or whatever mechanism in the language. You can take existing words and add affixes to them to create new words. It is a very robust language. You know, we pull in word stock from all over the globe, but then again, so do other languages too. You know, there other languages are taking in words from other languages and English as well. So most languages tend to be very robust and productive.
All right, what if you get something on an ice cream cone, but it's not ice cream, and it's either grape or orange or green? What is that called? Starts with an S.
Stuff that you put on top of ice cream?
You put it on top of an ice cream.
It's an alternative to ice cream.
Yes, and it starts with an S, and people say it wrong. I want you to say it the correct way.
I'm still not sure what you're saying. You mean a sundae?
No, sherbet.
Oh, that type of, I'm sorry. I completely didn't get where you were going.
That's all right. They were bad clues, but it's not sherbet, is it?
It's sherbet, but I believe we have another note there as well. We do. It's more about how the word entered English. Sherbet, without the R, is a frozen dessert made mainly of fruit juice, fruit puree, sugar, milk, or cream. But sherbet, with the second R, is an acceptable variant. If you go to ahdictionary.com and type in sherbet, you see a really fantastic history of the word going back to Ottoman Turkish and Persian, where the word came from and how it's related to the word sorbet. But anyhow, it's sherbet, but sherbet is an acceptable variant.
But you can say sherbert if you're agreeing with your friend Bert, can't you?
Oh my God, please stop. we have Steve Klein Edler on the line with us, and he's a lexicographer, and he compiles dictionaries, mainly American Heritage Dictionaries and the Webster's New World Dictionaries. We're going to take a quick break. We have a lot of people texting in things that people say wrong, and of course we are celebrating National Dictionary Day, so happy day to you all. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. Oh, yes, it's Bill and Wendy, and we are celebrating National Dictionary Day. So on the line with us is lexicographer Steve Klein Edler. You also noticed something.
Steve, were you in a TV show called Wrapped for a while?
Yes, I was. Well, it was a web series, yeah.
Yeah, how about that? Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Someone was checking my IMDb there. Yeah, and back in Chicago, actually. I'm one of the founding members of Shattered Globe Theater.
Wow.
On the side, so, Yeah,
that's
I've done
excellent.
A lot of theater too.
Good for you.
All right, there's a word that people say that I say wrong, and I need to clear this once and for all with a lexicographer.
Okay.
It's a little potato dumpling, and I say gnocchi.
Gnocchi, yes.
It's not gnocchi.
It's probably as you were seeing from this, there are a lot of words that have multiple pronunciations, and that's just because there are so many people who speak English. But I say gnocchi. We show both pronunciations, gnocchi and gnocchi.
All right, so don't make fun of me anymore, Bill.
How many times, Steve, did you hear this as a kid? You'd say to your parents, "There's a word I got to spell. I don't know how to spell it." And then they'd always say, "Well, look it up in the dictionary." But the point is, if you don't know how to spell it, looking it up in the dictionary is not the easiest thing in the world to do.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, I was kind of a dorky child, so I didn't have to tell me to go look it up. I kind of immersed myself
on your own,
on my own. Yeah,
smart.
So to me, it was a really cool experience to have this giant 2,400 page book or whatever, and just plowing through it, looking things up when you're on the page. And this is something that's lost when people look up stuff online. But in the old days, when you had a print dictionary, you'd look up a word and you'd get lost on the page because you'd learn all these facts about other words
right.
that fall on the page, which is a really interesting way of learning, new information. So,
well, it was also fun as a kid. You'd look up dirty words. You'd look up swear words, and that was fun. But now, because of the internet, it's not as much fun as it used to be.
Well, yeah, they're pretty ubiquitous on the internet, but in larger unabridged dictionaries, they're there too. And, maybe you'll learn a fun fact about
yep.
the history of the word or something in doing that.
Yep.
Bill, did you giggle when you would look up an alternative word for tailbone?
Did then and still do today, yeah.
That's coccyx.
Yeah.
Correct?
Coccyx,
fun.
Yes.
Yep.
All right. We have some listeners who have some questions for you. Steve Klein Edler on the line with us. Mike, do you have a comment or question?
Yeah, I got a question. The word especially, which I use, a lot of my friends use especially, like there's an X in it. Can you tell me what...
That happens a lot with certain sound combinations where the consonant clusters are switched, where extra sounds were added. It's a phonological process that is common in English, and certainly with words like especially, or as Wendy mentioned, espresso. Technically, the correct pronunciation is with the consonant followed by the consonant, sp. People have incorporated this KS pronunciation instead of the SP pronunciation. It's a well-known process, that said, the actual pronunciation of especially remains with the SP sound.
So, Mike, tell your friends that they are incorrect and you are right.
Yes.
What has happened with words that have the ST together? For instance, street. People put an H in there a lot more frequently than I've ever heard. Someone had a stroke. It's just the STR.
That's a phonological process, affrication, and there are certain dialect areas of the country. I know, for example, upstate New York very commonly says street for street. When the F and the T, when your tongue is articulating that at the point in the mouth, the S sound is becoming an esh sound, so st comes out sht. It's a it is just a phonological process, and it's a dialect marker. There are large portions of the country that routinely substitute esh for s when it's followed by a t.
What do you do about this, Steve? Every once in a while, and I'll use Donald Trump as an example, he'll pull out a word like huge, U-G-E, meaning large, meaning huge. Do you guys wait a little while before putting it in the dictionary? What's the norm on that?
Talking about that's also the pronouncing huge is huge, or pronouncing human is human, where the H is dropped, it becomes a yes sound, is a well-known phonological aspect of certain varieties of American English, including those spoken in certain parts of New York City. So something like that is just a standard a regional variation. So in that specific case, that's something that's been known for decades, if not centuries, and it's just a phonological feature of that regionalism.
Do you publish a separate New York City dictionary just for the people of New York? You should consider that.
But they are out there. The Dictionary of American Regional English, which is published by Harvard University Press and is put together by people at the University of Wisconsin for 55 years. They've been doing this exact type of thing, polling. In the 60s, they would send people out across the country, and now a lot of this, of course, can be done online, where they and it is a dictionary specifically devoted to regionalisms.
I do not want to blame millennials because I am not that type of person, but I have noticed that there's a word that I have said one way and everyone else has said one way, and now all of a sudden people are saying it differently. Let me explain. It's button.
Button.
A lot of people
with
now,
D's instead
they
of T's.
Say but I can't even
button?
Say button.
Yeah, I hear that.
It drives me insane. Button.
Well, technically, that consonant sound that you're making is it's called a flap. It's not a T. It's not a D. It's your tongue flapping against the top of the roof of your mouth. It's English orthography. The English spelling doesn't have a symbol for that, so people commonly use a T. Or you might also be hearing where it's replaced not with a flap but with a glottal stop in certain dialects, a button, where it's kind of like a swallowed sound. Again, all of these are just different regional variations. And you'll find it consistent in that context.
It's almost, Steve, like, you remember when you'd take a true false quiz when you were in school and you didn't know if it was a T or an F, so you'd make a letter that was between a T and an F? It's your mouth's way of doing that, isn't it?
So you're right either way.
That's a nice analogy. I like that analogy.
Yeah.
All right, we have one more before we let you go, and Peter's on the line. And Peter, I'm with you on this one. Go ahead. What's the word?
Yeah, Bill and Wendy, fantastic show as usual.
Thank you, sir.
Wendy, I want to ask you, dear, how do you pronounce G-R-O-C-E-R-Y?
Groceries.
How?
Groceries, like with an S.
Okay. I hear so many people saying groceries.
I agree, and I don't like it. Steve, what do you think?
Technically, both correct. A lot of your examples you're coming up today are both variants that are acceptable. Grocery. Again, that suttish. If you go back to the word sibboleth or shibboleth, the biblical story about being able to identify what city someone came from by use of that one word. This SH distinction goes back centuries and millennia. So, there you go. In this case, they're both considered correct.
There you go, Peter. Thanks for listening. And almond or almond?
That's another one that has about four different pronunciations, I think. Let me bring
almond.
That up. you can drop the L or not, and then the vowel quality can be aw or ah. So you can get almond, 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 almond. There's a wide variety there.
Often or often?
Either or.
Well, for a long time, it was pronounced often. And then in the 1800s, when people became more literate, when literacy was widespread, because of the T in the spelling and people became more aware of the spelling, that silent T started getting restored, like in the middle of the 1800s. So even though words like listen, the T is silent, soften, it came back in often. So it was often, and then the T just crept in when people would see it in writing.
Crazy T.
And now creepy T. Yeah.
Steve Kleinedler, it's been a pleasure talking to you on this National Dictionary Day. Have a great day. You can follow him on Twitter. It's S. Kleinedler. And just Google him because he's all over the place. Steve, thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much.
Bye, Steve.
I very much appreciate it.
We'll do it again. Thanks.
This was fun.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a quick break. We've got news coming next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.